Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
We can't doom another generation of Americans to soaring costs and eroding coverage and exploding deficits. Instead, we need to do what we were sent here to do and improve the lives of the people we serve. For the sake of our citizens, our economy, and our future, let's make 2010 the year we finally reform health care in the United States of America.
That's President Obama speaking just moments ago, standing in the stateroom of the White House before he heads off on his trip for the holidays to his home state of Hawaii. President Obama spoke not long ago, not long after the Senate passed the $871 billion bill by a 60-39 vote on party lines. Obama welcomed the vote as bringing America toward what he called the end of a nearly century-long struggle that began with Teddy Roosevelt in 1912, and seven presidents, as he said, both Republicans and Democrats, have tried to overhaul Medicare. Now all that's left to do, is combine the Senate version with the House version before that goes to the president's desk for his signature. That's not an easy task by a long shot. We're joined now by Carrie Budoff-Brown, health reporter for Politico, and Trudy Lieberman joins us again, a contributing editor to the Columbia Journalism Review, and she blogs about healthcare for them. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning. Hi there.
Carrie, you may have heard me speaking with Trudy earlier about doing a little bit of a fact check here on what Obama said about this legislation. What do you think? Trudy said the jury is out on whether or not this is actually real restrictions or regulations on insurance company practices. Do you think this is a real change?
Sure. I mean, I think Trudy makes a good point. We don't yet know how the insurance industry is going to respond to this. I mean, the Congress will set out the law, but the industry, as you know, some on the left have feared, could possibly find loopholes or ways around what Congress sets out to do. So, I think this is the story. Once this bill, if it is signed into law, I don't think that the story does not end there. And there's going to be years of stories about, how the insurance industry responds to this, and whether what Congress set out to do will actually happen. And I'm not quite sure. None of us know how that's going to play out at this point.
That's kind of typical, though, for legislation. And
sure,
to a certain extent, anytime you're using regulations, it's a little bit of a whack-a-mole game, right?
Sure. I mean, yes. And I think there were a lot of predictions about the Medicare prescription drug expansion in 2003. The predictions about how that would work out. And I think most people think that one's worked out pretty well, after some initial glitches. So I think, we're going to see several stages of how the history on this bill is written, whether it's good or bad.
Okay, Trudy Lieberman, let's talk a little bit about the two small items that stand between the Senate version and the House version. And let's take the public option first. We've talked to you about this before. There are some congressmen who absolutely said, we will not vote for any legislation that does not include a public option. But in most cases, when it comes to reconciliation, the Senate wins out.
That seems to have been the history of this kind of legislation over the last several years. We certainly saw that during the FCHIP debate in 2007 into 2008. What we're going to have to wait and see is whether all of those liberal congressmen in the House who said they supported a public plan, a robust public plan, will end up withholding their vote. Remember, the vote in the House was fairly close.
Yeah.
So they could very well tip the balance against this if they decide to fall on their sword for this. I think a lot of people don't expect that to happen. There's been a lot of chatter on the Internet, and I've been seeing a lot of stories that are being written by bloggers and others who are really very mightily disappointed by what's happened with the public plan option. And I think that those folks will be putting pressure on members of Congress to not support the Senate version. But I think in the end, the Senate bill could prevail and there will not be a public option. The insurance industry has not wanted it, and they've made no secret of that. But also the doctors haven't wanted it. Also the hospitals haven't wanted it. And the media has really not talked too much about their opposition to this. The opposition's always come from the insurers. So I think when you weigh what the stakeholders want and are willing to fall on their sword for it, as they've indicated, I think there probably will not be a public option in the final bill.
Okay, Carrie Budoff-Brown from Politico. Let's talk about the other most significant sticking point, and that's how we pay for this bill. The House version, of course, was a little over $1 trillion. The Senate version is $871 billion. So who do you think is going to win out here? The Senate version includes this. They both include a tax on so-called Cadillac insurance plans. The House is much lower. Who's going to win?
Actually, the House doesn't include a cap on
A surtax, yeah.
Yeah, it has a surtax on the wealthy. That's an income
right.
tax. So that is the major difference between the House and the Senate. So the White House has already said that they support this tax on Cadillac plans. That is what they push for. They think it's a way to start reducing the sort of excess spending on health care. When you have these expensive plans, it encourages a lot of spending, they say. So I think we're going to see the White House side with the Senate on this, and that's going to upset the House because the House has been very resistant to this idea of capping the amount or taxing insurers that offer these high-income plans because they say that they disproportionately affect, you know, union workers who have fought for years for better health care plans in lieu of wages. But it seems like the White House is going to weigh in on behalf of the Senate on this one. The Senate will win. I think the millionaire's tax, which is what is in the House bill, the income tax on the wealthy, that is not acceptable in the Senate. I think you would see Ben Nelson leaving the deal if that returned in any form. So you're likely to see a financing package that more closely mirrors the Senate.
Okay, the bill, if it works as it stands now, does do a few things that were promised by candidate Obama. It extends coverage to 30 million Americans who right now are uninsured. And again, as we said earlier, it does impose some restrictions. Listen to this that Obama said just a few minutes ago.
Insurance companies will no longer be able to deny you coverage on the basis of a pre-existing condition. They will no longer be able to drop your coverage when you get sick. No longer will you have to pay unlimited amounts out of your own pocket for the treatments you need. And you'll be able to appeal unfair decisions by insurance companies to an independent party.
Trudy Lieberman, last question for you. Besides covering the uninsured, that may be the most popular piece of this legislation once it gets out to the public.
You mean for the uninsured?
Well, in other words, the pre-existing conditions, being able to appeal if you've had your coverage dropped.
Yeah, I think that was a very egregious practice, and it resonated very much with the population. But people have to remember that in the individual market, that was an issue. It is not an issue in the employer market where most people get their coverage. People who have pre-existing conditions in large employer groups and in smaller employer groups get coverage. So it will make a difference only to those people, the uninsured, who have to go into the open market or to the exchange and buy coverage. And as I said earlier, there are caveats that go with that because the insurance companies are not able to accept those kinds of risks and still right. stay in business.
Okay, Trudy Lieberman, contributing editor to the Columbia Journalism Review. Also, Carrie Budoff-Brown, health reporter for Politico.